Hi, welcome to Faith Fellowship Church. We had a great time in worship today. We make a joyful noise, and we did. So praise God. This morning we're going to talk about His faith in me. When we talk about faith, and we've been talking about faith for a while, we tend to probably get down on ourselves. We say like, "Boy, I need more faith," or "I wonder if I have enough faith," or "How much is enough faith?" But in Hebrews chapter 12, we read, "Wherefore, seeing we are also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin which so easily besets us, and let us run with patience, the race that's set before us, looking to Jesus, the what? The author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God." So Jesus has written the book on our faith. He's the author. And he finished the book. Well, you say, how can he finish the book when I haven't died yet? Well, how can he put your name in the book of life before the foundations of the earth? He's God. He exists outside of space and time. And so he has finished your story, even though you're still living it. Think about that. He's got to the end of the chapter. He's the author and the finisher of your faith. That gives me great comfort to know that in spite of my free will, he's got it all taken care of, doesn't he? Because his faith in me is greater than my faith alone. Amen? Well, let me just go ahead and read these other two verses and then we'll get to the other one. "For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your mind. For you've not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin." I think the reason why we think our faith isn't big enough is because we are always striving against sin, aren't we? We live in a fallen world. We're tempted to get angry, we're tempted to murmur, we're tempted to feel despair, discouragement, want to quit. But the writer of Hebrews not only tells us that Jesus is the author and the finisher of our faith, he reminds us to consider him. Don't look at your own weakness, but consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, and that way you won't get weary in well-doings because you've not yet resisted unto blood like he has. And he is the victor, amen? He finished it, and he said it's finished, amen? And now Romans 14:23 tells us that he that doubts is damned already if he eats, because he eats of not of faith. For whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Think about that. When we talk about faith, we think of faith as, you know, parting the water, moving the mountain, but really, faith is living a righteous life apart from sin, because if you have unbelief, whatever is not of faith is sin. And so Jesus is the author and the finisher of our faith, right? And so my faith comes from Jesus. Most of us can quote Galatians 2:20. "I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." Many people will misquote that and say faith in the Son of God. It's not faith in the Son of God. It's the faith of the Son of God. It's his faith in me. Wow, think about that. All of a sudden, I realize that it's the faith of Jesus in me, operating in me, his story about my overcoming power. He's the author and the finisher of my faith. His faith is in me. And so I don't need to worry about, do I have enough faith? Because I know it's his faith in me, amen? And when his faith is in me, he did it all. He conquered death, hell, and the grave. Consider him. Don't consider your weakness. Don't consider, I don't have enough faith. My faith isn't big enough. My faith is getting discouraged or whatever. Well, yeah, maybe I feel discouraged, but it's not my faith. It's his faith in me, praise God. And he did it all right, didn't he? I mean, he opened blind eyes. He healed the lame. He raised the dead. That's the faith that's in me, according to Galatians 2:20. And so I just go ahead and just, I'm just crucified with Christ. I just lay down my life and say, well, you know, why am I worried about me? Why don't I just die to self? Because in me there's no good thing, right? So I'll just be crucified with Christ and let Christ live in me, because His faith is already in me. So it's Jesus in me. And that gives me power, doesn't it? Gives me power over the devil. Gives me power over circumstances. When they see me, they see Jesus coming. And we know what they did when they saw Jesus coming. You know, the Pharisees didn't recognize Him. His own disciples didn't recognize Him. But the demons, they all knew who He was. Jesus, what are you doing coming here before your time? And He'd say, just shut up and get out of that guy. And He said, the works I do, you shall do also, because I go to the Father. So it's Christ in me, the hope of glory. It's His faith in me. I'm crucified with Christ. And it's not me that's living, it's Jesus in me. It's faith in me. And that Jesus is operating through all of us right now in Jesus' name. Amen? And so He is the author and the finisher of my faith. He is in me and His faith is in me. And so what? Why am I worried? Why do I fret? He's the mansion builder. He's the one. Amen? Now we're going to look at this story from I live by the faith of the Son of God. And we already pretty much pounded that into us. But it is the of the Son of God. It's not in. And so we're gonna look at the story from Exodus 14 this morning, because we are just like the children of Israel many times. We see them as a good example of how not to do it. And we need to remind ourselves how not to do it so we do it right. And the Lord spoke to Moses. This is Exodus 14:1. And He said, speak to the children of Israel that they turn and encamp before Fire-Hareth. I practiced that, believe it or not. Between Migdol and the sea, over against Baal-Zephon, before it shall ye encamp by the sea. Now you have to picture this in the map, okay? So they're in Egypt. I'm trying to do this backwards, you know, east to west. They're in Egypt, and they leave Egypt. You know, they go out with a high hand. They've got all the jewelry and everything, and they go up, and they're going. And if they keep going, they'll go over to here where they want to go. But halfway through, the Lord tells them, just go on south, down this way, and they're going to go down to a dead end that we know to be the Red Sea. And so, and then He tells them what Pharaoh's going to do, because God already knows everything He's going to do, doesn't He? Aren't you glad? We get wigged out because we don't know what's going to happen, but God already knows what's going to happen. So just listen to God. And God says, Pharaoh will say of the children of Israel, they are entangled in the land, the wilderness has shut them in. And truly, when they made that wrong turn that God told them to do, did you know God tells you to make turns down dead ends? Lord, why in the world are you doing this to me? Why did you send me down this dead end road here? It's all for His glory, isn't it? And so He says, Pharaoh is going to say to the children of Israel, they've entangled themselves in the land, the wilderness shut them in. And so they go down this dead end, and sure enough, there's mountains on each side, and then there's the Red Sea in front of them. And so Pharaoh's going to say this. He tells them what Pharaoh's going to say, and then we read the story. And then He says, and I will harden Pharaoh's heart that he shall follow after them, and I will be honored upon Pharaoh and upon all of his hosts, that the Egyptians may know that I am the Lord. And they did so. You know, the reason God sends you down dead-end roads is so that you will know He's the Lord. Amen. Amen. You don't really like dead-end roads. I don't really like dead-end roads. I prefer the highway to heaven. Don't you just love that? You know, got your cruise control on. Everything is going great. You know, we don't like flats. We don't like hitting deers, which I did last November or whatever. We don't like those things. We want the nice, smooth, easy highway without any turns or dips or dead ends. But when those dead ends come, God says, it's all about my glory. You know, it's all about giving glory to me. You know, they say that a testimony cannot come without a test, right? And so for God to get the glory, you're going to have some dead ends. And so it was told the king of Egypt that the people fled, and that the heart of Pharaoh and his servants was turned against the people. And they said, why have we done this, that we have let Israel go? Well, isn't it crazy how fickle our memory is? Well, I'll tell you, Pharaoh, in case you forgot, there was the flies, and there was the frogs, and there was the lice, and there was the darkness. And oh yeah, how about your son that died and all the firstborn? That's why you did it. But then, you know, people get crazy and they forget why they're living for God or why they fear God, and they say, why did I do that? And so he made ready his chariots and he took his people with him. And he took 600 chosen chariots and all the chariots of Egypt and the captains over every one of them. And the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. And he pursued after the children of Israel, and the children of Israel went out with a high hand. Now, you know, this is the King James Version. It means they went out victorious. But, you know, you can't help but picture them, you know, as they're going out doing the high five. You know, I don't know if that's where the high five came from or whatever, but probably not. But, you know, they're going out of Egypt. They got gold. They got silver. They've got all this stuff that their Egyptian counterparts just gave them. They said, Lord said, ask them for their gold. And, of course, he put it in their heart to give it to them, because God knew they were going to need gold, you know, to make all of the artifacts and for Aaron to make a cow out of. But anyway, and so they went out with a high hand. But the Egyptians pursued after them, all the horses and chariots of Pharaoh and his horsemen and his army, and overtook them, encamping by the sea beside that place. And when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them, and they were so excited. Oh, no, that's not what it says, is it? They were saying, praise the Lord, God's going to deliver us. No, they didn't say that. They were so afraid, and the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord. Now, we got to stop here for just a little bit. He is the author and the finisher of my faith, but faith untested is not faith, because if I say, I believe God is going to help me pay my bills, but if I got enough money to pay my bills, am I really believing God is going to help me pay my bills, or am I trusting in my bank account? But if I don't have enough money in my bank account to pay my bills, then I say, if God is going to help me pay my bills, then I'm actually believing God, right? So you have to have the dead ends. You have to have the low bank accounts. You have to have the sickness. You have to have the pain. You have to have these things so that you can trust and believe in a God who supplies all of our needs according to His riches in glory. Amen? And so you have to have the dead ends of life. And so here they are, and yet are they passing the test? No, of course not. And have we failed the test? Yes, we have. We've murmured and we've complained and we say, God, if you love me, why are you letting me go down this dead-end road? And so they are sore afraid. They are afraid. What did we say? Opposite of faith is sin, right? If you don't have faith, you are sinning. Not just unbelief, it's sin. Romans says it's sin. And so we don't want to sin. None of us consciously wants to sin against God. We know God that hates sin. And so we have to trust and believe God. And so they were so afraid, and they cried out unto the Lord. And they said to Moses, poor Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, you've taken us away to die in the wilderness. Wherefore have you dealt with us so, to carry us forth out of Egypt? Why did you do this to me? How could you do this to us, Moses? How could you do this? You know, we weren't super happy in Egypt, but we had a job. We got some leeks or whatever they had, all those things, right? We got onions. And now you brought us out here to die in the wilderness. When you come to a dead end in your life, the first thing we see is despair, no hope, a dead end. What is a dead end? You can't go any farther. It stops right here. There is no more progression. It's a dead end, so you feel hopeless. But, you know, I love what R.W. Shambach, you know, the great tent evangelist, and he used to preach, and he had a big church for a while with a lot of mixed multitude, a lot of blacks, and I remember he used to say, some of you guys used to have to sit on the back of the bus, now you're driving the thing, you know? And so whatever that thing is, whatever that dead end is, it's only a dead end to you. It's not a dead end to God, amen? It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how hopeless it may look. It doesn't matter how impossible it may seem. With God, all things are possible. He's a miracle-working God. He's a miracle-working God. He's the author and the finisher of your faith. And it's not just your faith, it's His faith in you. Amen? It's His faith in you. And so you may see the dead end, and the faith in you may say, I can't believe God for this. And then you start putting Jesus in. Wait a minute. Pastor said it's not my faith, it's his faith. Well, does Jesus believe in dead ends? No. There is no dead end to Jesus, is there? Amen? Well, if it's Jesus' faith in me, I can believe God that this dead end is not a dead end. That God will make a way where there is no way. Amen? And so they murmured and they complained and said, why did you take us out here to die? Is not the word that we did tell you in Egypt saying, leave us alone that we may serve the Egyptians, for it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. Do you know oftentimes when you feel like it's hopeless, it's always worse in your mind than it is in reality? You know, it's that subtle lie of the devil. It's the way the devil amplifies things and makes the situation look so much bigger and so much darker and so much more despair. And you say, well, I don't even know what I'm going to do. And then all of a sudden, the clouds part and you go, why was I acting like that? Lord, I'm sorry. You know, and yet we see the children of Israel and we do the same thing. And so, verse 13, then Moses says to the people, fear not. Fear not. Because that's what it is, it's fear. We see the dead end and we say, ah, what am I going to do? And then he says, stand still. You know, it's one thing to say, okay, well, I'm not going to be afraid, but I've got to do this and I've got to do that and I've got to do this and what about that? You know, no, fear not and just stand still. And then the third thing is just see the salvation of the Lord. He's the author and the finisher of my faith. He's already written the happy ending to my life. I'm just on chapter 13, the unlucky chapter where the dead end is at. But he's not done writing my book. It's finished in heaven. I just haven't got to the last chapter yet. And he's the author and the finisher of my faith, and it's his faith in me. So why don't I just turn the page and stand still and see the salvation of the Lord? Amen? Amen. Praise God. And so he says, fear not. Stand still. See the salvation of the Lord, which he will show you today. Now see, the problem is, some of us hadn't caught up to today in our story. You know, we're still at the scary part, and Moses hasn't told us this comforting word. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, you shall see them again. Say that with me. No more forever. No more forever. You know, the devil has had some snares in your life. Certain things that you have dealt with. Maybe you've been dealing with a week, a month, a year, 2 years, 5 years. But, you know, there comes that day when God says, no more. Amen. Comes that day when God says, you've been praying, you've been seeking me, you've been standing by faith, and you're at that chapter in the book of your life that he is writing where he says, you will see this thing no more. God is the God of change. Amen. He's the God of change. He can make a way where there's no way. He can answer you out of the midst of the storms of your life. You know, when he spoke to Job, it was in a whirlwind. We call them Oklahoma tornadoes, right? Those rednecks sit out in the lawn chairs and watching, right? So I don't know, I think Job might have been from Oklahoma sitting out in his lawn chair and God speaking to him from a whirlwind.
That's right.
Yeah. And so God will speak to you from your whirlwind. In the darkest hour of your life, God is getting ready to make a change. And he says, no more. You've dealt with this thing long enough, but no more. You've been here. You're scared. Fear not. Stand still. See the salvation of the Lord. Because the enemy that has been pestering you so long, you will see no more. Come on, give God a hand clap right there. Hallelujah. So faith does not fear, and fear is not faith. Amen. Faith doesn't fear. Now, be honest, we've all been afraid. But see, that was our faith, because our faith isn't good enough. But then we read today that we live by the faith of the Son of God. Did Jesus ever, did you find in Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, where Jesus was ever afraid? There's no account of Jesus ever being afraid. Amen? Even when they came to take him away. Now, he was sweating as it was great drops of blood because he knew what was coming. And he said, Father, take it from me. But he wasn't afraid because he set his face steadfast to go to Jerusalem. He was on a mission to die for you and me. That was not fear. And when they came to take him in the garden, you know, he didn't need Peter's sword. He wasn't afraid. He didn't say, Peter, step in front of me. Get that sword out quick. He didn't need that. He wasn't afraid because he knew that the plan of God was operating in his life. And guess what? Since he's the author and finisher of your faith, since he's written the book on your life, the plan of God is operating in your life. You may feel like your life is out of control, but Jesus is the author and the finisher of your faith, and he's got it all taken care of. You may be at a dead end right now, but stand still and see the salvation of God, of the Lord, because fear, faith does not have fear. And then faith, of course, stands still. Be still and know that I am God. They that wait upon the Lord will renew their strength. They will run and not grow weary, walk and not faint. Being still is probably one of the hardest things for every Christian to do, especially guys, because us guys are the guys, we're the ones that wants to fix it. Isn't that right, ladies? You know, when a wife has a problem, you know, I'll fix it, you know. I'll fix it. Sometimes you don't need to fix it. You just need to stand still. Sometimes you don't need to try to get in the middle of it and fix it. You just need to wait on God. You just need to be still. Stand still. Faith stands still. And then faith sees the salvation or the victory of the Lord. You know, what am I saying here? I'm saying, in summary, that you and I have nothing to do with the story of our life. In fact, when we try to have something to do with the story of our life, we usually make things worse. When we try to help God, we usually make things worse. So, you know, our Christian walk is more about having faith and standing still and just being along for the ride. How many of you guys ever ridden a roller coaster? Yeah. Did you have to do anything to make that first hill? You didn't have to do anything. In fact, they lock the bar down so you can't get out. Remember that? Well, that was your last chance, buddy. You're in here to stay. And then there's that slow climb up that scary hill. And you're thinking, what was I thinking? And you make that turn, and then you crescent that first big hill. And it's scary, and it's fun at the same time. And then the next thing you know, it's over with. And you go, wow, that happened so fast. You know, the Bible says our life is a vapor, and one day we're going to see Jesus. And we're going to say, man, that happened so fast. And when I look back, it was really fun, but why was I so freaked out? Why did I get so freaked out at those dead ends of my life? Why did I get so freaked out when I was climbing up that scary hill and I didn't know what was going to happen? All I needed to do was just stand still and know that God is writing my life story, and he loves me. And all I need to do is just rest in him, because he is the author and the finisher of my faith, and it's his faith in me. Amen. And so Moses told us in verse 14 that the Lord is going to fight for me. You see, the reason why I can't be still is because I don't remember that the Lord is going to fight for me. The Lord is going to fight for me. Do you not think that the Lord knows what you're going through? Do you not think that the Lord has not seen your tears? Do you not think that the Lord knows what your needs are? Sure, he knows. So he's going to fight for you. He's in your corner. He's got your back. He cares about you more than you care about yourself. He's going to fight for you. And so when I know that I know that I know the Lord knows what I need, the Lord loves me more than I love myself, and he's going to fight for me, then I hold my peace. I close my mouth. I quit talking about my problem. You know, we're all guilty of it, you know. You have a need and you want someone to pray, so you tell sister so-and-so and brother Big Bottom. I didn't notice I didn't say sister Big Bottom. We won't even go there. Yeah. but we talk about our problem, and God doesn't want us to talk about our problem. He wants us to be quiet about our problem and know that the Lord will fight for us. We hold our peace. And in verse 15, it says, the Lord said to Moses, why are you crying to me? Speak to the children of Israel that they go forward. I love this. This is so God. And if you haven't ever caught some of these things throughout the scriptures, it's the same thing when it was time to feed the 5,000. And Jesus said to who was it? Simon, I know, who was it? Andrew, I think it was. You feed them. What? You feed them. Isn't it great that God loves you so much you get to participate in what He's doing? You know, it's not God. Yeah, God is doing it all, but He lets you participate. He says, you feed them. Well, how am I going to do that? He says to Moses, you know, why are you crying to me? Just have them go forward. Well, there's a little thing called the Red Sea there, God. You know, it's a dead end. You know, there is no dead ends with God. He can feed 5,000 with a few fish and loaves. He can part a Red Sea, and He can change your situation. So don't talk about the situation. Hold your peace. And then quit crying to God about it and just walk by faith at that dead end and see what God can do. Just look at it and say, hey, there's no such thing as a dead end to God. Amen, only to me. He's the author and finisher of my faith. It's His faith in me. So what's going to happen if I walk into that brick wall? Well, one of two things are going to happen. Either I'm going to hit it or God's going to part it. Amen. Either God's going to part the Red Sea or I'm going to drown. Now, if God loves me, if God's written my story, if it's His faith in me, then it's His reputation on the line, not mine, if I walk by faith and not by sight. Amen? It's His reputation. And so faith, say it with me, goes forward. Faith goes forward. Faith never retreats. When you look at the whole armor of God from Ephesians, there's no armor for the back. There's the breastplate for the front. There's the shield for the front. There's the helmet. There's the feet shot. There's the sword. Amen? There's nothing on your back because God never intended a child of God to turn and run from the enemy. Faith goes forward. And so you're waiting for God to move, and God is waiting for you to move forward. We said, well, I thought you told me to stand still. It's standing still in your emotions. It's not being freaked out. It's resting in the knowledge that God has got this. That's the being still. The still waters that aren't stirring up, churning because of what you're going through. It's stillness within your spirit. But you go forward. Faith goes forward. Verse 16, but then lift up your rod and stretch out your hand over the sea and divide it, and the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. So Moses had this rod. It was nothing special. It was a stick, but it was his scepter, if you will. It was his power with God. Now, of course, our rod is Jesus, isn't it? We lift up Jesus. We lift Jesus higher. Amen. He said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men to me. He was lifted up on the cross. Our faith is in the finished work of the cross of Jesus Christ. And because He did what He did, and we read it earlier in Hebrews, consider Him who endured all this stuff and is at the right hand of God. Consider that. Always remember the covenant of the cross is the rod of God in your hand. Amen? It's the covenant of God. Jesus said, this is the new covenant in my blood. It's the covenant of God. You're in a covenant relationship. When you're in a covenant relationship, then the covenant relationship gives you special privileges with the person you're in covenant with. And that special privileges is that I can walk through my dead ends. I just lift up Jesus. Amen. I lift up my rod. So lift up your rod, stretch out your hand over the sea, divide it, and the children of Israel go over on dry ground through the midst of the sea. And so, he said, and I, behold, I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians that they will follow them. And I will get, again, this is about God getting honor, I will get me honor upon Pharaoh and upon the host, upon his chariots and upon his horsemen. And the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord when I have gotten me honor upon Pharaoh, upon his chariots, and upon his horses. You know, I don't know if you read a whole lot in the Old Testament, but all through Genesis and Exodus, well, mainly Exodus, and then Numbers and Deuteronomy, God always says, here's what I'm going to do, and here's how I'm going to do it, and then He does it. Here's what I'm going to do, here's how I'm going to do it, and then He does it. And here you see this here. Here's what I'm going to do, here's how I'm going to do it, and then you read that He does it. And so, that you know what that sounds like to me? Someone who's already writing the book before it happens. He's the author, and the finisher of my faith. And you know, if you could just eavesdrop on him as he's got his heavenly quill out writing your story, he's saying, here's what I'm going to do next, and then I'm going to do this, and then you catch up with the story. And you go, wow, look what God did. He's the author and the finisher of my faith. Amen. And then the angel of God, which went before the camp, removed and went behind them, and the pillar of the cloud went before their faces and stood behind them. Now, you remember, during the day he led by a pillar of cloud, and at night a pillar of fire. And so as Moses is getting ready to part the Red Sea, then this pillar of cloud goes up over the children of Israel and goes between them and Pharaoh's army, and all they can see is like thick as pea soup, as they say. They can't see their hand in front of their face. It's just this massive, foggy, you know, cloud all around them. And they have to stop. They can't see it. We don't know where we're going. And so it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel, and it was a cloud and darkness to them, but it gave light by the night to these, so that the one came not near the other all night long. And so they had this darkness. And then Moses stretched his hand out over the sea. See, look, God said you're going to do it, and then he's doing it. And the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night, and made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided. And the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea upon the ground, upon the dry ground, and the waters were a wall unto them on the right hand and on the left. Now, you know, I like this because the waters were the dead end, and now they're standing at attention as they walk through. Amen? I love that. You know, heaven stands at attention at the name of Jesus. Demons stand at attention at the name of Jesus. Your problem stands at attention and salutes at the name of Jesus. You know, and we think that our problems are so big, and we think our dead end is so impassable, but when God is in it, they stand at attention and escort you through the midst of your problem. Can I get an amen? Hallelujah. Glory to God. And so they were a wall of water to them. And the Egyptians pursued, and they went in after them in the midst of the sea, even the Pharaoh's horses, his chariots, his horsemen. And it came to pass that in the morning watch, the Lord looked upon the hosts of the Egyptians through the pillar of fire and the cloud, and troubled the host of the Egyptians, and took off their chariot wheels, that they drove them heavily, so that the Egyptians said, let us flee from the face of Israel, for the Lord fights for them against the Egyptians. He's still fighting for you today. Amen. This is not an isolated incident. This is how God does it, and He's fighting for you today. Amen. And the enemy is saying, oh my gosh, we messed with the wrong guy. We thought we could take her out. We thought we could take him out. But the Lord is fighting for them. And if God is for us, who can be against us? Right? Amen. And so the Lord said to Moses, stretch out your hand over the sea, that the waters may come again upon the Egyptians, upon their chariots, upon their horsemen. And Moses stretched forth his hand over the sea, and the sea returned to its strength when the morning appeared. And the Egyptians fled against it, and the Lord overthrew the Egyptians in the midst of the sea. And the waters returned and covered the chariots and the horsemen and all the hosts of Pharaoh, and it came to pass, into the sea after them, there remained not so much as one of them. But the children of Israel walked upon dry ground in the midst of the sea, and the waters were a wall unto them on the right hand and on the left. Thus the Lord saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians. And Israel saw the Egyptian dead upon the seashore. And Israel saw the great work which the Lord did upon the Egyptians. And the people feared the Lord. And finally, that's my word I put in there, finally believed the Lord and His servant Moses. Why do we have to see it to believe it? That's really not faith, is it? Faith is, you know, if I can see it, it's not faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things what? Not seen, right? Not seen. And so the children of Israel, they whined like we do sometimes. They were fearful like we do sometimes. But then when they saw it, they believed the Lord. They feared the Lord. God is to be feared. He is awesome. He is mighty. He is powerful. There's nothing He can't do. He's not intimidated by the Democratic move. He's not intimidated by the the people that are in office right now. He's not intimidated by the New World Order. He's not intimidated by COVID-19. He's not intimidated by the Antichrist waiting in the week. He's not intimidated by any of that. So why should we be? He's not intimidated by your dead end. You think your dead end is permanent? God says nothing's permanent with me.
That's right.
Amen? That which is seen is temporal. That which is not seen is eternal. He is the eternal God. He is the heavenly God. He's the almighty, all-knowing, all-seeing, all-powerful God. And He's for you and not against you. Amen? He's for you and not against you. Now, when this happened, you know, well, I'm getting ahead of myself. So what does it all mean? Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. See it by faith. Well, I don't know if I have enough faith. You got Jesus' faith in you. He's the author and finisher of your faith. His faith is in you, so you can do all things. You can see the salvation of the Lord. You can project ahead and say, I am looking at my situation today through the eyes of the faith of Jesus and not the stuff I've been whining or murmuring about. I am putting on the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm making no provision for the flesh. And I am seeing the last chapter of my life the way God sees it. He's the author and the finisher of my faith. I'm just going to stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. And so Jesus is the author and the finisher of my faith. It means He's the author and the finisher of my faith. He's written my book. Amen. And so Revelation 12:11 says, they overcame Him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives to death. Now, we understand the blood of the Lamb, faith in the blood, the finished work of Jesus Christ. Our testimony is the story of how we overcome. I said this in our worship service, didn't I? Our testimony is how we overcome. But I didn't write it. God did. So when people say, well, tell me how you overcome, we say, Jesus. Right? We say Jesus because He is the author and the finisher of our faith. My faith comes from Jesus, not me, Galatians 2:20. My testimony comes from Jesus. He's the author, Hebrews 12:2. And my responsibility is to stand still and just go ahead and see the salvation of the Lord, Exodus 14:13. And so there's a nice little picture of Moses standing on that rock. Isn't that beautiful? And you know what that is? That's your problem right there. God is parting your problem. You know, we didn't read it, but after all this happens, Miriam grabs a tambourine. And she begins to sing. I will sing unto the Lord, for He has triumphed gloriously. The horse and rider are thrown into the sea. And you know what? Your horse and rider are about to be thrown into the sea. God is about to part your dead end this morning. Because He's the author and the finisher of your faith. And it's not even your faith, it's Jesus' faith in you. Amen. Let's all stand, shall we? Diane, if you'd come up, if you would, and just play something softly. Praise God. You know, it's not just us here. It's people watching on Facebook. So I want everybody to just be still and pray. And pray, because this is still ministry time. We don't know who's watching or who may watch a day later on Facebook. And maybe you're here this morning and you don't have any dead ends, but somebody may be facing a pretty dark day. And we don't come here and we don't preach these messages and just go home and eat chicken. We come here for ministry. We come here because there's people that are hurting. We come here because there's people that need a miracle in their life. And they're having trouble believing God to part their waters. They're having trouble believing God to meet their needs, whether it's financial, physical, emotional. But I'm here to tell you that this story we read today is not just a story of a God that is so far away. It's the story of a God that loves you, that cares about what you're going through, that has seen your tears, that has heard your cry. A God that loves you so much that He's not even expecting you to have enough faith. He's given you His Son's faith. It's Christ's faith in you. He's the author, the finisher of your story, and you may think that your story is over. You may say, well, my life is over. You don't know what I've done. You don't know where I've been. You don't know what I'm facing right now. I don't know that, but God does. I said God does. I said God does. And if you can just fasten your eyes a little higher on Him, I promise you, He's the God that never fails. So we're going to pray. And if you're here this morning, you're watching by Facebook, and you need a miracle in your life. I mean, you really need a miracle. You're tired of the dead end that you've been facing. Lift Jesus up as Moses lifted that rod. Just say, Jesus, I lift you up today. I need a miracle in my life. Let's pray. Father, I pray for each person here, and I pray for those watching by Facebook. And I ask that you perform a miracle in their life. You're the miracle working God. Help them, Lord, to be still, see the salvation of the Lord. Help them, Lord, to trust you and not murmur or complain. Help them, Lord, to surrender all their fears, all their inhibitions, all the worries, all the strife. Help them lay it at the cross. Lay it at the foot of the cross and say, Jesus, I believe. And when we put our faith in Him and His faith is in us, the Bible says you can ask anything according to His will and He'll do it. And I believe that this week, by faith, that your water is going to part, that dead end is going to change, and that God is going to get the glory. And so we give you the glory, Lord, this morning, because you're a miracle-working God. We receive that by faith in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Thank you for coming.